Vichitta.
Fruitless.
Fruitless.
Abhinivesha.
Abhinivesha.
Conception.
Conception.
I am this yet which Ganeshu in the modes of material nature. Artha as a fact. Dirgvaksha. Seeing and talking. Yata just as. Manoratha. Mental concoction. Swapna. Dream. Sarvam. Everything. Andriyakam. Produced by the senses. Mursha. False. Translation, it is fruitless to see and talk of the material modes of nature and their resultant so-called happiness and distress as if they were factual. When the mind wanders during the day and a man begins to think himself extremely important, or when he dreams at night and sees a beautiful woman enjoying with him, these are merely false dreams. Similarly, the happiness and distress caused by the material senses should be understood to be meaningless. Report the happiness and distress derived from the activities of the material senses, not actual happiness and distress. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita speaks of happiness that is transcendental to the material conception of life. When our senses are purified of material contamination, become atindriya, transcendental senses. And when the transcendental senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, Hrishikesh, one can derive real transcendental pleasure. Whatever distress or happiness we manufacture by mental concoction through the subtle mind has no reality, but is simply a mental concoction. One should therefore not imagine so-called happiness through mental concoction. Rather, the best course is to engage the mind in the service of the Lord Hrishikesh and thus feel real blissful life. There is a Vedic statement, apatma soma amrita abhuma apsaro bi viharama. With reference to such a conception, one wants to go to the heavenly planets to enjoy with the young girls there and drink soma rasa. Thus imaginary pleasure, however, has no value, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, antavattu phalam tesham tattvabhantyalpa medasam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their friends are limited and temporary. Even if, by fruit of activity or worship of the demigods, one is elevated to the higher planetary existence for sense enjoyment, this situation is condemned in Bhagavad Gita as antavat, perishable. The happiness one enjoys in this life is like the pleasure of embracing a young woman in a dream. For some time, this may be pleasing, but actually the basic principle is false. The mental concoction of happiness and distress in this material world are compared to dreams because of their falseness. All thoughts obtaining happiness by using the material senses have a false background and therefore have no meaning. Translation is fruitless to see and talk of the material modes of nature and the result of so-called happiness and distress is if they were factual. When the mind wanders during the day and a man thinks himself extremely important, when he dreams at night and sees a beautiful woman enjoying with him, these are merely false dreams. Similarly, the happiness and distress caused by the material senses should be understood to be meaningless. So this, of course, can be taken in two ways. The examples are given of daydreaming, that is, during the daytime, you start thinking about something imaginary, and then you get lost in that thought, and you actually experience it as if it were real. The other is at nighttime, against your will, or without your desires, somehow you get dreams, and they appear, and then also you think they're real, and you start experiencing through the dream. In both cases, that illusion is broken or negated. In the first case, a daydream, you suddenly withdraw your mind from that and you recover and then you think normally. And in a dream, you wake up and then you say, oh, that was false. So in both cases, you negate those fantasies or dreams by the waking state. So relatively speaking, we say the waking state is real and the other one is false because they don't correspond. Even though the experiences are real. We have real experiences in dreams. If a tiger chases, you feel fear. So it's not that it wasn't actually a fear of sensation. So you get sensations which are real, but when we compare it to the wakings, that we say, oh, that was false, because we wake up and there's no tiger there. It's only in the dream we get the tiger. Of course, further argument is, what is the nature of that object in the dream, the tiger or whatever? And according to Vedanta, it's a real object. It's not a false object. There's a real mental object there. It's not the same as this object, but there's some mental object there. So there's some dream objects also, under the control of the Supreme Lord. And that's what causes those particular experiences. So it's not totally unreal. Nevertheless, compared to the waking state, we say, oh, that was not real. So then we carry over that principle and we say, we get happiness and distress in this material world. That also is like a dream when you come to a higher level of knowledge, a waking up, so to speak. And it would draw your mind from these things. And then you understand, oh, this was actually not so real after all. So of course, we can, as I said, we can take this in two ways. One, we could take, yeah, it was totally illusory and there's nothing there in the material world at all. Or we can take that just our conception was unreal and it's not actually happiness and distress, without negating the experience or the objects there. So the first option is that of the Mayavadi, which is actually, it doesn't really exist at all. Nothing is there. There are no objects there in the material world. Just as they'll say there's no object in the dream object also, then we get a waking state. So when we get our realization of Brahman, again, this material world also is like a dream state. So it actually doesn't exist. Of course, in order to defend that principle that we would do things in this material world, very complicated things like build things or scientists discover things, and very complex compared to the dream, which is rather not so complex. So they call this a Vyavaharic reality. It's a kind of real, but ultimately false. So they have a state like that, they call it in Mayavad philosophy. So ultimately, unreal. Everything unreal. So that is what we call the Mitya state. Or as we call it here, Mursha. False, illusory state. So the Shankar claims, Jagat Mitya. The universe is actually false, ultimately. And what is true? Brahman. Brahman is true. So this argument for the falsity of the world and the reality of Brahman, there's many facets of that. Because we have, one argument is because we have variety in the material world, happiness and distress, then Brahman should be exactly the opposite. So no happiness and no distress, and no variety, no qualities, and no forms. Material world has forms, qualities, happiness, distress, duality. Brahman should have no duality, no happiness and distress, no forms, no qualities. That's the logic used. We have to have the opposite completely. So, in this way they conclude, okay, Brahman has no qualities, no form. And then they will support that by Shruti evidence. Talks about, you know, no, the Lord has no hands, no feet, no form, no qualities, nirguna, etc. So they have the nirvishesh shrutis, certain statements in Shastra. So that is their position, that only Brahman exists, other things are all illusory states. However, we find that when the Vaishnavas take these verses, we talk about the false state of this material world caused by the sense perception here. It is not taken as totally false. Okay? So we have some basic principles that we go by of what is real or what exists. So we say Prakriti is real. It is not illusory. It actually exists. So therefore Prabhupada mentions at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita we have these different five principles. Yes, Prakriti is there, eternal. Jiva is there, eternal. Supreme Lord is there, eternal. Karma and time are there as well. So they're not illusory by any means. They're all factual existing. In Mayavad philosophy, Brahman is there. Time, karma, prakriti, jiva, illusory. So, quite a different philosophy, actually. And based on this, of course, then we have whole different ideas of, worship and things like that. So ultimately, worship itself is impossible in Brahman. Because in worship, you worship something. In Brahman, there's nothing to worship. So in other words, no bhakti in Brahman, no bhakti in this Advaita philosophy. So the principle of difference of material world, jiva, supreme lord, all of this is got a basis for bhakti. It's the basis of bhakti because there is that difference between jiva and the supreme lord. Therefore there is this big argument that takes place between the impersonalists and the personalists, the Vaishnavas, because of this. Because if it's impersonal, there's no bhakti. But of course behind that, then we have the Shruti. So both will argue on the basis of Shruti, and they'll quote the Nirvishesha Shrutis, that's the Mayavadis, and the Vaishnavas will quote the opposite Shruti. So, scripture says both things. So then we have to come to a conclusion why they say both things, or whatever like that. Therefore we have things like Vedanta Sutra, written by Veda Vyas, to explain what is the conclusion, and then we have Bhagavatam, which is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutras, to also explain what is the final conclusion of everything. Of course, now the Brahma Sutras becomes difficult for most people to understand again. And then you can argue both ways on that. So Shankar comes his complete commentary on that one, and it's completely nirvishesh, ultimately. And we have the Vaishnavas who say, no, it's the wrong conclusion. So they'll argue over that one. So, natural commentary is the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is much clearer in that regard. There's not much room for argument. If you want, you could distort the whole text and come out with a conclusion, but then most people will see that it's obviously a very forced conclusion. So if we take the natural conclusion of Bhagavatam, then we understand the Lord exists, He has a form, He has qualities, and the Jiva exists, and the Jiva worships the Supreme Lord. This is the natural conclusion of Bhagavatam, repeated over and over in all the different stories, examples, teachings, etc. Now, one can argue the opposite from Bhagavatam if you take isolated verses here and there. But if we take the main purport, we find no, that's not the conclusion. So, therefore, if we accept Bhagavatam as the final conclusion of all Shastras, then the answer to the conclusion of all these different statements and conflicting statements is that the personal God is conclusion. And world exists, Jiva exists, Supreme Lord exists, time exists, and karma. They're not illusory, ultimately. But this does not reject the fact that illusions take place in the material world. So yes, Prakriti is real, Jiva is real, but we do have illusions about Prakriti. So the illusion is that we think that we can be happy with the material body by contacting objects in the material world. On the assumption that we are the material body. So, this leads, of course, to karma and bondage and ignorance and all these different things. And the solution is to get rid of that ignorance. Get rid of the identity with the material body, etc. So that is the whole purpose of scripture, to get rid of our ignorance. But that ignorance has two factors. One, okay, destroy the idea, I'm not the material body, I'm not happy, I don't have happiness and distress, etc. Which is the first step. And that is a step taken here in when Hiranyakasipu is teaching the demons and Yamaraj speaks. So basically, you understand you're not the material body. So in these discussions, we'll have an emphasis upon the idea of illusory nature of the material world, etc. And because the whole purpose is to get rid of the happiness or the distress of the queens once their king is dead or their husband is dead. And again, this is the whole purpose of the Yamaraj speaking. And when he speaks to the, within that story, he speaks another story of queens lamenting for their husband again. So the main idea is to get rid of distress in the material world. So therefore, the illusory nature of the material world is stated. But from that, we should not conclude that therefore the jiva doesn't exist or matter doesn't exist. No, that is not the conclusion. It is simply we impose illusory concepts upon self and matter. And we try to enjoy it and consequently suffer. So ultimately, the suffering itself is not unreal. It is experienced by the jiva. He's an experiencer, so he experiences happiness and distress. But it is also illusory in the sense that it's actually not happiness and distress, because the only reason he gets the happiness and distress is because he identifies it with the material body, which is the illusory identity. Just as in the dream, you identify with the your body there, and then the tiger chases you and bites you, and then you feel pain. But you wake up and, okay, it's illusory, like that. Nevertheless, you felt fear, you felt pain. So it is illusory and not illusory in one sense. The pain is real, but the whole circumstance is illusory, ultimately. In the same way, the jiva, therefore, suffers in the material world. But all these circumstances are actually quite illusory because they're based upon a material body. When we realize we're not the body, then we get relief. Just as when you wake up, you also get relief and you stop lamenting and suffering fear from the tiger. So, therefore, to get rid of this illusion, I'm not the body, etc., is one step, a positive step. But it's not the ultimate step. Second step is to realize our relationship with the Supreme Lord. And this gives rise to not just freedom from suffering, but a position of experiencing real bliss. So that is the difference between jnana and bhakti. Jnana gets rid of our suffering. Bhakti gives us, not only gets rid of our suffering, but it also supplies us bliss in our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that is the basic difference. And to experience that bliss with the Supreme Lord, we have to admit difference. There's not just Supreme Lord. There is a real jiva separate from the Supreme Lord. However, the jiva can establish a relationship with the Lord, because they are jiva similar to the Lord in many respects. So, therefore, difference, the idea of difference, is essential for establishing bhakti and for the attainment of bliss for the jiva. So, here we have the emphasis upon the illusory nature of the material world, etc., which is not untrue, but we have to take that in the greater context of Supreme Lord and his relationship with the jiva. So, we shouldn't take this as the final conclusion. Material world is ultimately just unreal. We have to take it, this concept, in relation to the jiva really existing and having a relationship with the Lord.
When one is dreaming, we see a different audience in TV. The eyes are completely closed. Who is saying that? Atma is saying, or?
Well, we also have subtle body. We also have subtle senses. Just as when you die, you go out of the body, it says, and if you go to hell, then Yamaraj covers you up with a special body and you can experience all the pains there forever, even though it's intolerable. You can experience it because he gives you a special body there. So, and when you have an out-of-the-body experience of some sort or a near-death experience, you see things and whatever. How do you see? It's not actually your spiritual body because you haven't developed bhakti or anything, but you have eyes in the subtle body also. Senses are in the subtle body. And in fact, these are not the senses. When we talk about the 10 senses, you know, in Prakriti we have ahankara, mahatattva, and mind, the sense devatas, and senses, 10 senses, and the tanmatras, and the 5 material elements. Those senses are not these senses. These senses are made out of the 5 material elements. Those senses are something different, which you cannot see, because they go with the subtle body when you die. So that's described in Paranjana's story, where that when Paranjana dies, his senses go with the mind and the intelligence, and they go into a new body. They're compared to 10 servants. So, and the pranas also go with the body. So, therefore, the senses actually, are in their essence, are actually very subtle, but material. But not subject to the destruction of this material body, so it cannot be this sense. Therefore, this is the gross manifestation of that sense. So therefore, it's not unlikely, it's not so improbable to have experiences of dreams, because you can operate with those senses, even if these senses are not operating.
What happens when the gross senses and the subtle senses don't cooperate?
In normal cases, if your gross senses don't cooperate, then you may be blind or whatever, have deaf or whatever. That doesn't mean the subtle senses can't work, but we're not used to that. Therefore, that person can still dream. Blind men can still dream, isn't it? He still has dreams, even though his eyes externally are not working. And probably in that dream he can hear also. But when he comes to this state, then he's, you know, he's thinking, I cannot hear, I cannot see. Okay. Of course, it is possible that even those subtle senses, due to very bad karma, can also malfunction in some way or another. Okay. Which would be even a worse state for the jiva. He'd be almost like a primitive animal or something in that case. You know? Or even a plant or something like that. You know? Limited. Subtle senses are very limited in their function. Yeah. It would depend on your level of advancement. So you may just have a subtle dream object, like you have a dream tiger or a dream whatever, if you're still in material consciousness. Of course, even that is auspicious. Like a picture of Krishna is auspicious or whatever. So there's nothing wrong with that. But in order to actually have the spirit, perceive the spiritual form of Krishna, and then you have to have spiritual eyes, which will develop in the bhava stage. So in bhava stage, you're injected with the pladini and sambit shaktis to the degree that you can actually have spiritual vision. And you can see and taste and whatever, spiritual. So therefore you can perceive the Lord in that state, and He reveals Himself in bhava state. So that's the real stage of seeing the Lord. Other states of dream may, you know, they may be there, but if you are still stuck on a lower level, then it wouldn't be the actual Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna.